It's becoming increasingly popular to promote pelvic floor exercises for men. Women have been taught them for many years, as there's good evidence that in them at least, stress incontinence in particular is helped. But what about men, where one of the commonest causes of incontinence is as a result of prostate surgery, especially for cancer? A trial has just been published which provides some answers. The chief investigator was Catherine Glasner, who's Professor of Health Services Research at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. Professor Glasner is also coordinating editor of the Cochrane Incontinence Review Group, a great way to spend time with your friends. The Cochrane Collaboration is a global network of researchers who bring together the available evidence on, say, a treatment to see whether it works.
Well, we initially ran one of our earliest Cochrane reviews on the management of men with incontinence after prostate surgery. And to our astonishment, although prostate surgery is very common and urinary incontinence afterwards is also very common, we discovered that there was hardly any evidence to suggest whether pelvic floor muscle exercises would actually help the men. It's an analogous situation in women, that pelvic floor muscle training does indeed reduce incontinence, but there was very little evidence in men. Therefore, the HTA, our NHS research funder, commissioned a call into doing this trial, which consisted of pelvic floor muscle training versus a standard care control group, so that the evidence would then be able to be published and be used for men in the future.
So one group of men, after a radical prostatectomy, got a physiotherapist or an incontinence nurse to teach them how to squeeze their butt, so to speak, in terms of pelvic floor exercises. And what did the other group get?
They got standard care. Now, standard care in this country, and I'm sure also in Australia, would consist of people saying, well, you ought to be doing your pelvic floor exercises. It often consists of a leaflet in telling men how to do it. And if I take exception to the expression, squeeze your butt, it's definitely not your bottom you're meant to be squeezing. it's your pelvic floor.
Right.
And they are quite different.
But I'm trying to do them at the moment, but we'll leave that for another time. And it's become very popular in Australia to say that men need to do their pelvic floor exercises. So it was a big trial, big enough to give you the right answer?
Yes, in fact, we were able to recruit more than 200 men in each of the four arms of the trials. We actually ran two trials. One was in men after radical prostatectomy who'd had surgery for prostate cancer, and the other trial was in men who'd had a transurethral resection of the prostate for benign disease.
This is where they core out the prostate from the inside when they've not got cancer, but it's an enlarged prostate that's affecting their urinary symptoms.
That's exactly right. It normally causes men to have a reduced flow and eventually can stop them being able to empty the bladders altogether.
And so after this TURP, the transurethral resection, there's also an incidence of incontinence as well.
Yes, and in fact we found the incidence of incontinence was much higher than we thought.
What did you find?
We found that although the intervention men were very good at going to see their physiotherapist, they went four times in 3 months in both trials, there was actually no difference in the incontinence rates at any time point and at our primary outcome measure time, which was at 12 months.
Did you assess whether they were doing the exercises, even though they went to see the physiotherapist?
Yes, the intervention men were actually taught but also examined by the physiotherapist. They had anal examinations to check they were actually doing proper pelvic floor contractions. The control men, of course, didn't get that additional treatment. That was the basic difference between the two groups.
And do you know how much the control groups were actually doing pelvic floor exercises?
We asked the men whether they were doing the exercises or not, and we found that about, in the radical trial, probably about 50% or so of the control men were doing the exercises by the end. There were more men in the intervention group, 65%, which meant that they were doing what they were told, or more of them were doing what they were told, yet this didn't result in a difference in the incontinence. In the TURP group, only about 20% of men in the control group were doing their exercises at the beginning and at the end of the study, but about 65% were still doing them in the intervention group. So the men were compliant and also doing the exercises, as far as we could tell.
And you said that the rate of incontinence was higher in transurethral resection than you were expecting.
Yes, before we started the trial, most urologists would say, hardly any of our men are incontinent after a TURP. You know, it might be sort of 1 or 5%. Well, we actually found it was 20 to 40%, depending on how you define the incontinence.
Now, what does this tell us? Does it tell us that it's a waste of money putting in a physiotherapist to teach pelvic floor exercises, or does it tell us that pelvic floor exercises in men is a waste of time?
Well, it's the former. What we have not been able to show is whether or not pelvic floor exercises themselves work, but we have shown that it is a waste of time and a waste of resource to get a physiotherapist to teach them, because the standard care, you know, telling people about them and giving them leaflets, is obviously sufficiently effective without needing an extra physiotherapist as well.
Or insufficiently ineffective.
Well, that is the other way of looking at it. That's absolutely right, but of course that's another trial.
And how would you do that trial? I mean, a lot of men are spending a lot of time on this.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, it would be a very difficult trial to run because it is so prevalent that all men, certainly after radical prostatectomy, are told about exercises and they're giving leaflets. And in fact, in some centres, we actually couldn't recruit men from some centres because they had instituted a physiotherapy service and were unwilling to give it up, although, you know, we could say, well, there is no evidence. This was even before the trial started. But they were so convinced that this was the right thing to do that they were unwilling to disband their service. So, in fact, I would find it very difficult to design a trial where the control group did actually not get any information about pelvic floor exercises, quite aside from when you're in the hospital and kind of as your sort of post-surgery care. There's also an awful lot of information available on the internet, and you'll find leaflets about it in your GP surgery and friends and family.
So it's a religion. Was there any crossover with erectile dysfunction, given that erectile dysfunction occurs in both operations, particularly the radical prostatectomy?
Yes, we also asked the men about erectile dysfunction at 12 months, and we found that there was, again, no difference according to intervention or control groups. We also found, certainly after radical prostatectomy, that the incidence was about 90%.
90% at 12 months?
90% had some degree of erectile dysfunction. About half of them had severely or completely reduced erectile quality. The proportions were a bit lower after TURP. It was more like about 50 or 60% from memory. But again, the intervention didn't make any difference. What we don't know is what the incidence of erectile dysfunction would have been in the men who did not also have urinary incontinence, because we only followed up the ones who were recruited to the trial who all had incontinence. So I couldn't really comment as to whether, you know, if you didn't also have incontinence, whether you'd be less likely to have erectile dysfunction, although my suspicion is it would be just the same. I think the important thing is it doesn't mean that pelvic floor exercises don't work, but it does mean that you don't need a physiotherapist to teach them. On the other hand, you know, although a lot of men would spend time doing the exercises, the good thing about them is that there are no adverse effects. You know, unlike drugs and surgery, where there is a risk of adverse effects, at least the pelvic floor exercises won't do you any harm, and they might do you some good, whereas other types of interventions would have greater risks, and therefore, you know, you would need to be more bothered by your incontinence before you started embarking on other types of treatment.
Catherine Glasner is Professor of Health Services Research at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland.